Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, June 20th, 2017. And with me today, I have John Bartolaro. How are you, John?
I am very good this morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And Jeff Butts, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. I'm glad both of you are here. And, geez, I guess we might as well just hop right into it. We're going to start the show off with some delicious irony. Apple has been working very, very hard to cut down on leaks that are coming out from the supply chain and from the company itself. So they put together a whole team of experts to help prevent the leaks, and they have a whole training thing that they've been giving to employees, and the whole thing's been leaked.
Ain't that a hoot?
It is. So on one hand, it really sucks for Apple that this is leaked, because it's about their whole "we don't want leaks." But on the other hand, it's also really fascinating the lengths that Apple is going to try and keep their secrets secret.
Maybe it's a good thing it got leaked. I don't see it as a bad thing, because it gives employees as well as customers interesting insights into what Apple's trying to do. On the positive side, what Apple's trying to achieve from the customer standpoint, and also a sort of a situational awareness for employees who might read this article and become more familiar with all the staggering talent that's, investigating leaks. So I think it's kind of, it might even have been intentional. I don't know about that, but it is ironic, the discussion of the leaks leaked, but I don't see it as a bad thing. It was a very informative article.
Oh yeah, it was very interesting. So this is something that showed up on the Outline earlier today, and it's interesting because Apple has a team of secrecy investigators, is what I'm calling them. It's their global security team that is made up of people that worked for the NSA, people that worked for the FBI and Secret Service, people that came out of the military, people that came from other law enforcement agencies. So people that are familiar with the importance of keeping secrets, and people that are really good at conducting investigations, or at least hopefully are really good at conducting investigations. So in some cases, these investigations into who leaked something have gone on for 3 years, mm-hmm. and then they eventually find the person. I mean, that's serious dedication to tracking down a leak.
What I think this really does, for me at least, is it highlights just what the leakers are willing to risk.
Yeah, I'm sure in many cases the leakers are very well aware of the potential cost to them.
Oh, absolutely.
And in some cases, I'm sure they're not. But still, I mean, yeah, the stakes are really high for an Apple employee.
One of the things that was interesting to me was that there was a lot of discussion about leaks in the supply chain, where a worker in China would be offered 3 months or 12 months salary even to obtain a housing or a component. But the article didn't go into much about the U.S. situation, in terms of money. It would be unheard of, I think, if somebody were to offer an Apple employee $75,000 or $100,000 for information. Typically, it's, from my experience and from the article, it's enthusiastic employees who want to be a little bit more important in their own minds and share information about something they're enthusiastic about. But this business of bribing American employees didn't come up in the article, and I've never heard of it either. So that's an interesting contrast.
My assumption is that the money is less of an issue in the United States, so it's not as much of an incentive to get someone to leak information. So yeah. It comes down to, I know something you don't. I'm pissed off at my employer. I'm just really excited about what I'm working on, and I said too much. But when you go over to the overseas factories where people are making far less, which is not to say that they might be underpaid for what they're doing, because, you know, your pay is based on the economy for where you are. But, you know, if you're someone that has gone to one of these factories so that you can raise money so that you can then go home and sustain your little family farm, and someone offers you 3 months or a year's salary just to give them the case molding for an iPhone, I could see where that would be very tempting, because that's money that could go a long way to supporting your farm.
And yet, it's very rare. The article points out that of, a couple hundred million exposures, they had something like 4 leaks of housings. It was 1 in 16 million or something like that. So it was...
Yeah.
They're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. And the screening that people go through going into and out of Apple's factories, or the factories that Apple contracts through, is crazy. Like, it seems to me this is the kind of screening where agencies like the TSA could learn something.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's my question. With the leaks that we are seeing now, like for the iPhone 8, we've been seeing different cases and mock-ups that supposedly came from factories and CAD images. Does this strike you as something that will be easy for Apple to track down now?
I think so. I think they've got a pretty good, from this article and from what I know, they've got a pretty good team in place. And I think the leaks on the iPhone 8 are a little greater because there's so much interest in the 8, because it's, at least we think it's going to be called the iPhone 8, right? The 10th anniversary
it's one
iPhone
of the names that's being tossed around.
Yeah, iPhone 8,
this
iPhone 10.
This is going to be a big deal because of the OLED display and the inductive charging and the embedded Touch ID. So there's just keen interest, which is probably a supply and demand driver.
Oh, sure. And although now I'm wondering, with this report out, if some of these leakers will be less likely to share information. There have been a couple people on Twitter that have had a history of getting leaked images and leaked designs, not just from Apple, but from other companies too. And and I'm wondering if now they're going to see some of that information they were getting from people within Apple supply chain or from within Apple itself. They're going to see those streams of information drying up now, which means less leaks for us to write about.
Well, the article was written in a U.S. website in English. It may not, unless it gets properly translated and right exposure in China, it probably wouldn't be very well known about, right?
Well, considering the number of leaks that are coming out of China are really low. Most of the leaks are coming from within Apple now.
That's what I thought I had read, but I haven't been able to find out.
Yeah, it kind of flip-flopped. Well, it was in the article.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where it was.
Yeah, so that's why I'm thinking this may be something that that kind of dries up some of those information channels.
Let me talk about something for a second, because it just dawned on me that what's going on here. I remember when I worked for Apple, it was like a perpetual adrenaline high. I mean, you couldn't believe you were an employee. Every day you'd look down at your badge and you'd say, oh my God, I can't believe that I've achieved this ambition, this cool thing. And then you're sitting in the rotunda of Infinite Loop, you know, the main entrance there. And there's a little, there was a little kiosk where you could sit and eat, and there was tables and talk to people. And it was a beautiful setting, and it looked inward to the patio and inside the quadrangle. And just sitting there looking around and being part of the atmosphere and feeling, and this was Steve Jobs was in charge, the psychological atmosphere and the high of working for Apple can be so overwhelming that it's hard to deal with for some people. And in some cases, I suspect, just based on my own experience and judgment, that it's so overwhelming and so gives you so much of a feeling of being part of something big, that to clamp down and not say anything and just, you know, just work hard is very hard. And you want to share things. You want to tell your spouse about stuff. And you want to talk to your friends about the cool things that you're doing, because you're on such a big high. So I this wasn't in the article, but it just dawned on me that I think some people have trouble maybe dealing with that overwhelming emotional reaction to being an Apple employee. And it just slips. And it's not something they deal with malice. It's just something that's part of the dealing with the situation, and it may be just a little bit of an experience. Now, I went into it having come out of a Lockheed Martin astronautics environment where there was a lot of classified stuff. So I had, you know, decades of experience dealing with classified. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't hard for me, but I imagine a younger person might not be able to successfully cope with the emotions.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really excited about what you're working on and where you're working, if you're really proud of your work, the project you're part of, it's really hard not to share that with someone. I mean, that's just human nature. Yeah. So, it's a hard thing. And Apple can keep bringing in more Secret Service agents and law enforcement agents and whoever else they want to help cut down on this, but I don't think they'll ever be able to have a completely leak-free business. And what I mean by that are the leaks that they didn't orchestrate, because that's a completely different thing when the senior management decides, okay, this is the message we need out. Here's the news organization we're going to go to, and here's how we're going to present it, and it'll be a leak from insiders. You know, that's not the same thing as an actual leak. So, yeah. Anyhow, hey, we still have some more time. There's another topic that I wanted to look at before we wrap up. And this is the whole thing with Apple reportedly teaming up with Health Gorilla. And for people that don't know what that is, Health Gorilla is a company that specializes in the health and medical field data management, which is a nice way of saying they've put together a database that doctors can access and, well, medical professionals can access to review your medical records. So they can all feed into this. So instead of a doctor having to play detective and try and track down your medical records and your allergies and all that other information that's important for you, they can just go to a single repository and it's all there. And Apple's teaming up with this company and they're going to be bringing this to our iPhones. So as individuals, we can manage or monitor our medical and health data, and doctors can access it as well with permission, of course. And I'm looking at this and I'm seeing Apple really, really following through with the notion that they want to be our go-to place for all health and fitness, not just how many steps we take every day.
It's scary in a sense, one repository. I hope Apple, when you wrote teaming up with, also means security assistance. So there are very few companies that are successful in warding off attacks. Just about every day you hear about a company mm-hmm. that gets hacked. Mm-hmm. And the companies that have never been hacked, you probably list on all the fingers of your hands, you know, Apple, Amazon, IBM, I think. I think a company that's going to have a single repository for your health data has to have an incredible data center and incredible security expertise. So wish them luck.
Well, apparently, or I'm assuming this is why Apple chose to partner with Health Gorilla, because this is what Health Gorilla does. So instead of having to reinvent the system and then get other healthcare or all the healthcare providers to buy into the system, they can partner with someone and then create the conduit that that links back to all of your devices that you have, so like your iPhone.
Yeah, Jeff B, I think I interrupted you. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I agree with you, John, that I hope that they really take the security seriously. From a practical standpoint, you know, I don't know how many people have run into this problem, but when I changed family doctors some years ago, it took an act of Congress almost to get my medical records transferred over. And even then, things got lost. So having a central repository where I can just say, okay, I want to beam these to this doctor, that's something that I would definitely take advantage of.
Oh, yeah, I would love that. I know my medical records are scattered so many places that I wouldn't be able to go and track all of them down myself.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm just one person that can go looking for my own data. What happens when you're a healthcare provider and you have hundreds or thousands of patients that you're working with mm-hmm. and you're trying to track down all of this stuff? In many cases, even your patients don't know where it is. I mean, that's a monumental thing. So,
yeah,
one thing that I have liked in Colorado is that many of the hospitals have partnered with I believe it's the CU medical system. University of Colorado, and so they've created a local repository for all the medical records. So if you go to any healthcare center or any hospital that's part of their system, which at this point is almost all of them along the Front Range, all of your data is there. It's just there. And you don't have to worry about transferring stuff to a new doctor. You don't have to worry about, did you forget about the one place that has the one records that relate to this one treatment you had? No, it's all just there. So having a taste of this already, I'm very excited about what Apple can do with a Health Gorilla partnership. And I'm hoping that there are enough medical centers and doctors that are willing or already using Health Gorilla, that this becomes a really useful thing for everyone.
And that's going to be the issue, is how many are actually using Health Gorilla? Because doctors' offices and hospitals, they've already digitized in most cases, I think. And from talking to them, Changing systems is not something they're going to do.
Oh, no, of course not. So Apple and Health Gorilla are going to need to find a way, and maybe they already have, but they need to find a way that makes it easy and painless for healthcare practices and other medical centers to transition into sharing mm-hmm. data into Health Gorilla.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Without that, it doesn't matter what partnerships Apple has. Nothing's going to happen.
Right.
And it also makes the security and encryption of your phone even more important than it was before, which was pretty high to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you've already got your credit cards linked in, you have to have a passcode on your iPhone. And if you haven't done that and you don't have a passcode on your iPhone, it's time to change that, because your iPhone is a portal into your entire world. And you may not think you have anything to hide, but that doesn't matter. Doesn't mean that it's okay for people to be looking at your stuff.
Right.
So, anyhow, set up that passcode, use good encryption, and let's hope that Apple and Health Gorilla have a system that's going to work well and people buy into it, and we'll have fewer medical problems where a doctor doesn't realize that you have different medicine. And yeah, I'm just picturing these things that, you know, like what the pharmacies, like Walgreens, what they're doing. And Walmart does the same thing. And actually, I think pretty much all of the pharmacies now have systems where they can cross-reference your history with medicines and make sure that they're not giving you something that's going to, like, you know, kill you.
Yeah, I can verify that. Recently, we went to Walgreens and the computer said, "Oh, you can't take this with that. There's a contradiction here," and so there was an alternative prescribed. Yeah.
Nice.
You did a good job.
Yeah. So, anyhow, we're out of time. We need to wrap up. So, John, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.